Hello, everyone. Welcome to WHM Mailbag December edition, holiday edition, if you will. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside Steve Sadak and Chris Cabin. We're going to read some letters. They're not letters to Santa. We need like a big bag with letters in it. You could like make a shuffling noise too. That'd be fun.
Oh, right? Yeah. Just like we're actually going through stuff instead of reading emails on our phone.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Our phone. We all share a phone.
It's the WHM hotline. That's where you call in. It's one phone.
It's old fashioned flipper.
It's one more reason to buy some spread shirts. You know what, guys?
Exactly.
We need three separate. We all need separate phones at this point.
Totally. I mean, it's really sad. It's four grown men using the same phone. It's really pathetic. So we got some letters here we're going to go through for the holiday season here. Steve, do you want to go first?
Yeah, this is a weird one. It's got nothing to do with the holidays, but it creeped me out.
Perfect.
So here it comes.
It's perfect.
This is from Mark. Hey, guys. Glad to hear that you had brutal parents when it came to burying hamsters.
That's a reference to me and Chris.
When I was a kid, we lived in a small community out in the desert. Already getting scary. My sister's hamster died, and my dad took us out to the desert to bury it. When we arrived, my dad grabbed the makeshift shoebox / coffin the hamster was in and told me and my sister to wait in the car. About 3 minutes later, we heard loud gunshots. My dad, being an avid gun collector, decided to try out one of his new handguns on the hamsters.
Oh, no!
I never found the buried hamster after that. Cheers, Mark.
You remember that video that you can still find on YouTube now when Randy Johnson threw the pitch and it hit that bird and it evaporates? Mm-hmm. That's what happened to your hamster, pal.
Yes.
You didn't find it because it didn't exist after that.
Yeah, he shot it a couple of times because he missed a few times. It just takes one.
The gun works, as it turns out.
What? Here's my question.
I mean, it's probably like the end of Alien Resurrection, that fucking hamster, just everywhere.
My question is, I mean, what's wrong with some beer cans?
Yeah, I know.
What is the problem?
Dude, that your dad is escalating is what I'm
seriously, saying. Seriously.
Well, but here's the thing. Is he shooting them in the box or is he tossing them in the air and trying to like align sight?
Oh, wow. You're thinking it's a pull?
Yeah.
I think it's the second one, because I don't think that there's much, you know, to be gained of shooting a hamster in a box, right?
Want to see if this gun shoots through shoeboxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Totally. I want to watch that.
Johnny Dangerously, everybody.
Johnny Dangerously, one of the greatest Michael Keaton movies this side of Batman. Yeah, that's really weird, buddy.
I don't know what
traumatic.
What happens after that?
And also, you know, he makes reference to our parents being horrible with that. The story I told was I had a hamster that died, and my parents said that my dad buried it in the woods when, in fact, my dad just threw it over the fence. But I didn't find that out till I was like 25.
Yes.
You heard gunshots go off.
I mean, I actually did put the mouse in the garbage.
Now,
so I'm closer. So, I mean, I understand your plight. But
right. Here's my question about that, though, Chris Cabin. When you toss that mouse in the trash can, did you immediately then take the bag of garbage out to, like, the outside garbage, or you just let that sit till the can was filled?
Are you putting, like, pizzas on top of this mouse?
I do believe there was at least one dirty paper towel on top of the mouse.
You know what? That's when it gets disrespectful. Really? I mean, like, throwing it in the garbage is bad enough.
Well,
but just
also
making it into regular garbage at that
point? I guess it was even worse than that, because
would you piss on it?
Close. What I did was, at the same time, I was like, well, I don't need this mouse cage anymore, so I dumped all of the innards of the mouse
all
cage.
All of his belongings? Dude, that's like someone throwing you in a grave emptying your house.
Come on, I treated him like a pharaoh. He was buried with all his possessions. Then I threw him in the actual garbage.
Hey, Chris, you know how I always say that you're going to end up like Joe Pesci in Casino? So imagining that happens to you, right? You get beaten to death with a bunch of baseball bats out in the cornfield, and they throw all these Blu-rays on top of you.
Man, you've asked me to go to that garage in the Bronx like 15 times at this point. I would hope you'd get the hint.
What else are we going to do with this Criterion collection, dumb? That's amazing. Who was that from?
That was Mark.
Mark, God bless you. Wow. That's tough, buddy.
That's a rough one, man.
That's a rough one to get over. Oh, it's terrible. All right. We'll get into a couple of holiday ones here to round out the evening.
As opposed to the creepy stuff. We start strong.
So this is from Mark. Or nope, that was the last one. Have another beer, dipshit. This is Matt. Matt writes in, says, hello, WHM gang. Since you put out the call for holiday-related stories, I had a question for you all. Did you ever watch a movie on or close to Christmas that killed whatever holiday spirit, if any, you had? Back in 2007, my uncle and I made the god-awful decision to go see that cheery, well-regarded epic I Am Legend on Christmas Eve. Needless to say, we left bitter, depressed, and broken men. Sincerely, Matt. Yeah, I have kind of a sad story about that. So one Christmas, I was out, like, after, like, the family things, I had some friends that were having a party. Like, this dude's parents had, like, a Christmas party every year, and so I went over to hang out. They were all, like, coworkers and whatnot. And this was still back in the, working at the old, it was like, all my multiplex coworkers and stuff like that. And we'd all moved on from the multiplex at the time, but I was like, guys, you know what would be really cool? Why don't we go back to the old theater that Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes movie is playing?
Oh, no.
And everybody was like, yeah, man, we're kind of just having a good time. And it was a thing where, like, everybody was drinking, having a blast, but I drove myself. I was alone. And I was like, well, shit, I can't be slugging back beer. So if I can't be drinking, I can't be having fun, right? Cut to me 20 minutes later, alone on Christmas in an empty, huge movie theater watching Sherlock Holmes 1, just in the dark. I'm serious. Not a single other person was in this theater.
Well, here's the is my dad used to have this. Every Christmas, he would show me a movie he thought I should see. And that was like our thing is we'd go out. During the morning, we'd go and see a new movie. And then at night, when we were having dinner, we'd watch a movie he thought I should see. Mm-hmm. And most of them were great. And but this one Christmas, I remember...
Chris Calvin's This One Christmas, dot, dot, dot.
This one Christmas, he turns on Sophie's Choice.
Come on! Come on, Chris's dad.
And I remember this. My mom loves this story because there was this one exchange between me, my dad, and me. Because I was like, this is 12, 13, so I was like settling into cursing and
trying it on for size.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget. I don't think it was the last scene, but it was one of the, you know, the Nazi scenes.
One of the Nazi scenes.
And
yes.
I was like, oh my God. And like, my dad just says, yeah, the Nazis were trouble.
Those Nazis, they were trouble.
Yeah. Your dad, educated cinephile, history teacher, not so much. Yeah. They were trouble. Your dad is the Burt Reynolds of teaching history. Yeah. A lot of trouble.
I am breaking a tradition this year because I'm tired of it.
Nice. I'm getting that way, too, with the holidays, by the way. Let's fucking break through it all.
I mean, it's not really a tradition. 2 years ago, I was going to go to my sister's on Christmas Eve, but she just had a kid and I was sick. So, I literally was by myself on Christmas Eve because you can't be around a baby when you're sick.
No.
So, but I was sick enough not to be around a kid, but not, you know, bedridden. So it's like, you know, let me go see that Hobbit movie. Let me just go Christmas Eve by myself in the rain.
Oh, man.
Like, I have a movie theater, like, you know, a quarter mile from my house that I could walk. I have to cut through a BJ's parking lot to get there. On Christmas.
Folks overseas who don't know what he's talking about, it's a bulk buying wholesale store and not some blowjob factory.
Oh, no, I meant the second.
New Jersey, I knew it.
Mm-hmm. It's a Christie, man. That's what he likes. And so I did that, and then actually, because I liked it, I was like, oh, you know, they're really kind of padding it out. And then the second one came around last year, and like before I actually went up to meet my family, I was like, you know, I got out of work early. I was like, I'm gonna go see that second Hobbit movie. Let me go. This is my new Christmas Eve tradition: is see the Hobbit movie by myself.
Oh man!
And this year, I think I've really been struggling with this. I think I'm not gonna see the third one
because
I'm so sick of it. I'm so tired of it. Have you? Are you going to do it, Chris?
I think I'm going to do it just because I need closure.
One last time. One last time. They keep telling me one last time.
Well, no, I'm not starting the next one.
Just whichever
whatever
one.
I know there's going to be a next one. Yeah. I know it's got to happen, but I'm not doing it.
Did you see the second one?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you why. Because when I went to see the first one, I was also by myself. It was 11:45 p.m. So you're gearing up for a three-hour movie 15 minutes before midnight. You know why I'm doing it? Because they got that goddamn Star Trek footage in front of it.
Oh.
But it was only one theater, the middle of Manhattan, the 34th Street and 8th Avenue by Penn Station. Yeah. So you got to go to that mess part of town.
It's
the worst. You just want to blow your brains out.
That's like Giuliani never came to town. It's just that one block.
How did you miss it?
I know.
You cleaned up the rest of it. How did you miss it? And so I go there. I'm waiting outside in the cold next to everybody who's dressed in costume. I'm the only one.
Oh, man.
I'm the only one out of costume. So I'm the asshole. And the other stipulation to get that Star Trek footage was you had to go see it in the high frame rate. And let me tell you, high frame rate, you can keep it. You can keep it. You can keep it all at Peter Jackson's house because it was the worst goddamn experience at the movies ever.
It's jarring. I saw the first one in with the frame rate. I saw the second one without the frame rate.
Hey, kid, you want to pay $15 to watch the shittiest video game you've ever seen?
Want to see me fast forward through my movie? That's what it is. It makes it look like you're fast forwarding through the movie, like just like one, just one. If, you know, you when you hit the fast forward button, it says two. If it was just one, that's what that is.
You're totally right.
It looks like a bad 1980s British sitcom, like you know what I mean, like that bad video where the camera's moving.
So, I mean, John Cleese should come out, be you know, hovering over the guest services desk at this point. Fawlty Towers joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it looks so bad in that high frame rate, and I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit. I'm like the leanest of Lord of the Rings fans as it is. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with it. It's a great achievement, that first trilogy. I saw them all in theaters. I don't regret a thing about it. Somewhere I've got the extended DVDs in a closet that I'll never break them out.
Of course not.
But I just don't need it. I didn't watch the second one. I didn't go back.
I like Smaug in the. I think it's
cool.
It's a good
Smaug's
hour.
The dragon. Yeah, is that the dragon deal? And is Benedict Cumberbatch talking?
Yeah, he's talking.
Oh, he's good. Huh. Oh, it's really, yeah, I mean, and that's like a solid 45 to an hour of that movie is the Smaug
of
part.
Of 3 hours.
Of 3 hours.
Exactly. I got to sift through so many second breakfasts and fucking idiots dancing all over. Like, just shut up.
There is less dancing the second one.
Let me tell you. The
same amount
of
eating.
Of hobbit jokes and like almost getting drunk like a hobbit. You can keep it. I don't want hobbit drinking stories. Thank you very little.
And you know what else I don't like is the obsession with like people learning Elvish.
No, yeah, you can't do it.
I mean, that stems from all of LOTR fandom and Tolkien fandom in general. But I feel like that experience of me standing outside on 34th Street, freezing my tits off, waiting to go see this movie I didn't really want to see in the first place, but there's Star Trek footage, so I'm shaking because I haven't seen it yet. And just all these people just jib-jabbing and fake talk.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, dude, just flapping their gums in Elvish.
I will say learning Elvish makes you smarter than people who learn Klingon somehow. I don't know why, because it's older and it's from a book.
It's a classier fake language.
Yeah, it is.
I've never been on any of the Star Wars episodes, so I haven't been able to tell this story.
Oh, wow.
But when
the original trilogy was being re-released. Yeah.
I remember going to see Empire Strikes Back. I was in line, and there was this asshole and his friend. And the asshole was dressed up like Han Solo, the friend like Chewbacca. They had an entire conversation where the Chewbacca guy just growling in Chewbacca.
No.
It was going, like, he would react, the Han Solo asshole would react to the Chewbacca asshole.
That's terrible.
And it went on, I'm telling you, 25 minutes at least before the line started moving and they shut up.
Here's my thing with that. Who is that for? Who are you doing that bit for? Are you hoping that people like Chris Cabin are online hearing you?
Mm-hmm. And are impressed? No. You have miscalculated.
You want to dress up for your movie, go for it. You're a big fan. We're all freaking nerds here. No one's on a soapbox.
Dressing up, there's nothing wrong with
it. Nope, totally fine. Fake languages, I draw the line.
Yeah, you have to.
Because
you could just as easily learn French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always goes back to the Steve Sadek, you can learn French.
The Rosetta Stone exists.
Listen, do something that might help you get a job.
Hey, sure.
Who knows? Like, oh my God, I'm fluent in French? Look at all these opportunities around me now. Oh, I'm growling like Chewbacca? No job opportunities.
Maybe if you learn Elvish, you could be a consultant at the Peter Jackson Museum. Which will be in the 2050s, I think.
Sure.
I can't wait. I would go to that. All right, so we got one more email to get through here. And Chris, I've marked it off. There we're gonna
pass the We Hate Movies cell phone.
We Hate Movies hotline's getting passed around.
Spreadshirt, buy us, please.
WHMpodcast.spreadshirt.com. There's a really smart Secundus t-shirt. All right, here we go. Last email.
All right. Hello, WHM gang. Big fan, etc. So, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo might not be a holiday movie, but it did come out during the holidays thanks to a poorly calculated marketing campaign.
I would say accurately calculated.
Yeah, that was about right.
It's for all the creeps that want something to do on Christmas without family around. Like me, apparently, watching Sherlock Holmes alone.
Trudging up Mordor to watch a fucking stupid Hobbit movie by myself.
All alone on Christmas Eve with the sniffles. Sorry, continue.
Sure. Right when the graphic rape scene begins, a father and his two young children have a seat in the theater.
You fucking idiot.
They stayed for the whole rape scene. That's a long-ass rape scene.
Yep.
And then the mother came in and pulled all three of them out of the theater. Not sure how long that'll stay with those kids, but I certainly haven't forgotten it. Happy holidays, Ben.
Oh, man.
In conjunction with your last mailbag story, Chris... Uh-huh. Don't bring your kids to David Fincher movies.
Yeah, just stay away.
Now, look, as Chris has, okay, you know, we've worked in the multiplex biz. Okay?
Sure.
Like, there are people that you get mixed up sometimes and you walk into the wrong theater. It's almost impossible, but people do it. I mean, it's almost impossible because there's always a goddamn poster right outside the door that you're opening or a big red sign above that tells you what it is.
Yeah.
Okay? So, like... Whatever, you missed it, you're dealing with some shit-eating kids, who knows what's going on, right? When you walk into that theater, and the screen is on, and listen, this rape scene isn't like the first thing that happens in the movie, so the movie's on for a while, okay? When you walk in, and you're a human being, so you have sight and sound in front of you, you're going to look at what it is, and you see a woman getting raped, get those kids out of there.
Yeah, but before that, because I happen to know what rape scene he's talking about, but there are other ones, and there's one right before it.
It's the opposite of I've got kids here. It's you've got kids here? Like, I think you're allowed if you're in a... You should really, I mean, like, nobody ever wants to get into shit with bad parents, but, like, you really can turn around and be like, really, dude? Rape scenes?
Just get out. Like, why are you even making it to the point where your ass is hitting chair? You turn the corner into that beautiful darkness, and you see that the movie is clearly not The Croods or whatever the hell you bought a ticket to, okay? It's not an animated caveman running around. There's no dragons.
Nope.
It's clearly a graphic scene of some kind. Just turn around and walk away.
Also, I know opening credits, you know, it's Wild West now. You can do whatever you like in the opening. But almost always, and I'm almost, I know it happens with this one because of the, you know, crazy opening. There's a title.
Yeah.
You can read the title and you're an adult. So you know that this freaking mega hit book
yes exists
is about this woman who is violently raped a couple times.
Oh, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, huh? I thought they called this The Croods. There's no way I could have possibly walked into the wrong theater, so obviously this is the movie's fault and the theater manager's fault.
I mean, I know that iCarly is like getting older, but a tattoo? Really? And a dragon tattoo?
I remember feeling inappropriate being taken to Abyss as a kid.
Now, this reminds me of a story, Steve, that I don't think you've told on the air.
The hostage story?
Yeah, I'm going to pimp you into the hostage story right now because this is it's a goddamn classic.
And I was thinking the same thing, and I'm not sure if I told. So if I did, please tweet at us and tell me what episode it is and call me an asshole. And you're right.
I don't think so. I don't think you have.
So the movie Hostage, it's one of Bruce Willis's least memorable performances. It's But it's a really strangely violent movie. It's very dark for some reason.
It's a really twisted performance from Ben Foster.
Yep.
Exactly. Before Robin Wright Penn had to look at his twisted performances. It's an injustice. And so Ben Foster's like this monster. He's trying to rape this girl. He's trying to stab this girl. I think he gets stabbed in the face, or one of the bank robbers or hostages.
Some sort of super violent thing that happens to
and
him.
Like, everything stops, and the theater's just quiet because everyone's like, oh, Christ, is this my Friday? Is this really what I did this Friday? And a kid starts crying. And it's a super packed multiplex opening night, and this guy out of nowhere just shouts out, and he's a hero. Great movie to bring your kids to. And I laugh. It's perfect because, yes, it is a great movie to bring your kids to.
Totally. The only thing similar I can add to this, and Chris Cabin, you were there for this one. Me, Chris, We Hate Movies co-host Eric Siska, and another friend of ours went to go see the first Captain America movie. Packed theater. Super ultra-packed theater. We're like several tall glasses of water in the parking lot before we go see this movie. But so we're ready for Captain America.
Sure.
Right? And there's just a couple of shit-eating kids just screaming and yelling. The debut of the Red Skull didn't help. They were terrified of Hugo Weaving, right? And they're screaming and screaming. And it was one of those beautiful moments when the audience collectively turned on the parents. And you started hearing a lot of like, get them out of here.
Yeah.
Why don't you leave? Get out. Like, all of this starts happening. And you could tell it was a thing where the parents were just like, terrified, like in frozen in embarrassment.
Sure.
These kids are running up and down both sides of the stairs, right? Just freaking out, just screaming, and everybody's like totally pissed. And finally, they decide to suck it up, and it's like, we're defeated here. The audience has turned against us. Our children have turned against us. The Red Skull has turned against us.
No, not the Red Skull.
Oh yeah, you know it's trouble when the Red Skull turns against you. So they get up, and you see them carrying the kids. I swear to God, round of applause.
Oh, man.
Theater-wide round of applause. And it was like a wave formation. Like, it started very close to where they were sitting. And then as, like, more people realized what was happening in the theater, it just, like, spread. And it was just this just joyous rapture that these children were getting pulled out. Everybody just started loving that movie even more after that. It's so great.
That's lovely.
It's pretty great.
So those are some emails for our holiday-themed December edition of the WHM Mailbag. If you want your emails and stories and weird movie-going experiences read on the air, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Until January's episode, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.